Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome. Welcome to Rotary Matters on Arrow FM 92.7. And, of course, we're on Wairarapa TV. I'm Marilyn Buzaid, and over the course of almost the next hour, I'll be telling you and informing you about some of our activities in my club, the Rotary Club of Marston South. But I won't be doing a lot of the talking because I have two members of our club here who will be going to talk to you about their place in the club. So in the studio today, we have Michael Weeks, who's new president for 2024 and 25, and a relatively new member of our club, John Prendergast, not a new member to Rotary, but new member to the Club of Masters and South. So welcome, gentlemen, and it's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. Nice to be here.
That's great. So first of all, we'll start with you, John, and tell us a little bit about what they call your Rotary journey. Got to use the right words. And, you know, when did you start in Rotary and how and why and all those sorts of things?
I moved to Masterton July last year, so coming up 12 months now. And I joined, one of the first things I did was join the Masterton South Rotary Club. I had been in Rotary before. I first joined Rotary way back in 1993, so 31 years ago now.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. So I joined the Invercargill South Rotary Club. And the reason I joined the Invercargill South Rotary Club was because a colleague of mine asked me to join. So I went along. I didn't really know much about Rotary. And I enjoyed what I saw, and I thought Rotary looked like a good organisation to join, doing good things in the community. So I joined there. I didn't realise when I joined that one of the things you do when you become a Rotarian is you get asked to speak at different things. And I was the world's worst public speaker, probably.
I think you've improved since then because...
I almost resigned when I found out that you had to do things like introduce the speaker or thank the speaker, those things. Because I was a very quiet, retiring accountant, so I didn't talk to people much. But I decided I wouldn't resign. I would use Rotary sort of as a platform to improve my public speaking. So that's what I've done. So I stayed in the Invercargill South Rotary Club for until 2020 when we moved to Wellington. So I joined the Wellington Rotary Club and I was there for about a year. And then we moved to Eastbourne, so I joined the Petone Rotary Club. So 31 years, four clubs.
That's a long time, yeah. And all different. Is Wellington the one that's bigger than ours at the moment? Is that right?
At the moment, yeah. Wellington was the original Rotary Club formed in New Zealand in 1921. So it's just recently celebrated the 100 years of Rotary. And it was for a long time the first and the biggest Rotary Club in New Zealand. Rotary split into six districts, and in our district, which is sort of the lower North Island and central North Island, there's 50-odd clubs, and Wellington's still the biggest club. They have about 70 members. But Masterton South is the second biggest club, and rapidly catching up on Wellington Club.
That's great.
And it's quite a formal club, the Wellington Rotary Club, I noticed.
Is it? Compared to us? Yeah.
Compared to Masterton South and compared to Petone and compared to Invercargill South. And I don't know if it's just me, but I prefer informal, friendly clubs. Masterton South, when you move to a new city or town, it's a great way to meet people quickly, is joining a Rotary Club. Because I found when I joined, all of a sudden there were 60-odd people that I got to meet rapidly. And it's been great, actually.
Yes, I've always told the story that when I stopped teaching in a big staff, that it was really good to have somewhere to go and meet up with a lot of people and, you know, male and female and that sort of thing, which was really good.
That's right.
So did you take any roles of director or that sort of thing? Were you president? Or have you dodged the bullet?
No, I haven't. I've been shot twice. I've been president twice. So I was president of the Invercargill South Club about 20 years ago. And then when I moved from the Wellington Club to the Petone Club, and I went along to the first meeting, and they said, oh, you've been Rotarian before, haven't you? And I said, yeah. And they said, good, you can be our president next year. So before I was inducted, they told me that I was going to be the president in the following year. So yeah. I've had two terms of president. I've been lucky, actually. I've had lots of opportunities for different roles in Rotary. So I've been, I was a district governor.
Was that in this area?
No, in the Lower South Island district.
Oh, yeah.
I've taken teams away to America. I ended up in the official party at the dawn service for the 90th anniversary of the Gallipoli Act.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah.
Simply because I took a Rotary team over there, and when I got over there, Rotary in Turkey's quite... I hesitate to use the word elitist, but it is a bit. And when they heard that I was leading a Rotary team there, they said, oh, you'll have to go on the official party at the dawn service. So I found myself sitting beside sort of Helen Clark and Prince Charles and people like that, which was bizarre, actually, just because I happened to be in Rotary. Yeah. So now I've been very fortunate to have lots of different roles in Rotary.
Were you part of the Rotary Friendship Force things, the exchange?
No. I led a group study exchange team to California, which is it's an exchange program that Rotary used to run. They still run it now. It's called Vocational Training Teams, where they send a team of five or six young people aged between 25 and 40 off to another country to learn about the economy, the culture of that other country. And they spend about 4 or 5 weeks. So we spent 5 weeks in the Central Valley in California visiting different businesses. One day each week we would each go to our own type of workplace. So we had a police officer with us. He spent a day with the California Highway Patrol each week, that sort of thing. I was working in philanthropy at the time, so I went to the San Francisco Foundation and that sort of thing. So it was that type of exchange of cultural and study exchange.
That's fascinating. Do they still do that?
They do, but it's in a different form. It's a vocational training team now, which has a particular area of focus. So it might be maternal health or economic development, a whole range of different types of areas of focus. And so the teams have that concentrated focus.
And is that funded through Rotary International?
Yeah, through the Rotary Foundation.
Yeah.
And it really was a great program, and still is.
Did in your other clubs, was there quite a proportion of male-female or was not?
About...
Because when you started, there probably wasn't...
Yeah, when I... the colleague that I mentioned that introduced me to Rotary was a woman, but she was the only woman in our club when I joined.
Oh, yeah.
And we had about 40 members.
Gosh,
so she was the only one. That grew over the years. Rotary now in New Zealand, there's about 27% of members are female. Some countries, the likes of in Asia, where there's Rotary is rapidly growing, they have a much higher percentage. So new clubs that are formed now, generally, there's at least half, often the majority of new members are female.
I remember when we had you will remember that too. We had a group from Taiwan who came and we visited Taiwan. I didn't go, but some did. And there were a lot of females in that group, weren't there?
Yeah, and that was they were quite business people orientated. They were very energetic and they were quite incredible, actually.
Yeah, so it was really interesting to see that, So how, I'm going to probably ask the same thing with Mike later too, but how do you find that it's changed over the years, Rotary, apart from the fact that there's more women now?
Yeah, and that's a noticeable change. There are more women, considerably less formal now than what it used to be. You know, when I started, you wouldn't dare turn up without a suit and tie on if you're a male. And now there's very few members of our club that wear ties that I've noticed. The whole culture of Rotary has become more relaxed. And I think that's a good thing. It, Rotary used to be seen as quite an elitist sort of old boys club. That has changed and continues to change now. And it's important, I think, that Rotary clubs are sort of a reflection of the community that they sit in. Otherwise they become irrelevant unless they have got the membership in their club that sort of reflects the demographics, the ethnicities of the community that it sits in.
So and you think that that happens?
It is happening, and not rapidly enough, probably, but it is changing. I guess that's the ongoing challenge for Rotary, is to remain relevant in the communities that we're in.
And Mike, do you think Rotary should remain relevant in the community? I mean, is there always going to be a place for a Rotary organisation?
Well, I certainly hope so. Yeah, no, it has to be relevant. And, you know, our club is still what I call fit for purpose, if you like. We generate quite a bit of goodwill in the community as far as fundraising is concerned, education. You know, we do a lot in our community, and a lot of it's unseen, you know, it's, and not really spoken about enough in a lot of ways. And I think that's what we probably need to do better going forward, is perhaps talk a little bit more about what we do in our community and how we benefit our community and why we exist, you know. Because we need, you know, I think we need new membership and to come in and keep it going. And we haven't done that particularly well.
I think too, because it was, as you said, John, it was always sort of the old boys club, wasn't it? And, you know, these people who were sort of hidden away in a... And also back in the day when my dad was in it, you know, if you missed a meeting, you had to make up.
That's right.
And it was very, very strict as far as regulations and things.
Rotary kicked the Pope out of Rotary because he didn't turn up to enough meetings.
Really?
Yeah. He was a... We started off as a priest in Argentina.
Yeah.
And he
joined the Rotary Club.
Pope Francis.
Yeah.
He joined the Rotary Club, and then he became a bishop, and he got a bit busier, and he used to miss the odd meeting. And then he became a cardinal, and he got a bit busier. And he missed... there used to be a requirement that you had to attend at least 60% of meetings, otherwise you had to leave Rotary. Well, he missed the 60% target. And so the local president went to him and said, "I'm sorry... Francis wasn't his name. Jorge, yeah. But you're going to have to go. You can no longer be a Rotarian, sorry."
Really?
And then about 10 years later, they looked on in horror as the smoke went up the Sistine Chapel and he became the Pope. But he's quite a forgiving person, so he subsequently agreed to be an honorary member of the Rotary Club of Buenos Aires.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
But we don't have that rule anymore, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think that would actually preclude some of your travels, Mike.
Yes.
Wouldn't it, seeing you're the person who likes getting away? I mean, I shouldn't talk about that because I do the same myself, but you do a lot of travelling. So have you ever been to a Rotary club overseas at all?
I'm going to have to say, no, I haven't. I should have, and maybe that's something I will do going forward, because I've often thought about doing that. It's just, I understand you can find out where they meet and who they meet and ask for an invite, and that's one of the advantages of being a Rotarian, of course, is that you're never alone wherever you go. If you arrive in a big city somewhere, there will be more than likely a Rotary club or two, and if you need you know, like if you have the time, I guess, and you need to do a networking or find stuff out, it's probably one of the best places you could go and have a meal or have a meeting and introduce yourself. Yeah, as a Rotarian, you're entitled to do that.
Have you, John? Have you been, yeah, where have you been? Have you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The UK, the US, Turkey.
Turkey, be interesting. How was it? What was it? Yeah.
Very.
How did you manage to?
Well, I was over there for the Gallipoli.
Oh yes, yes, of course.
Event, and so we visited a number of Rotary clubs while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more. You might mention every city you go to, there's a Rotary club. There's more Rotary clubs in the world than there are McDonald's restaurants.
Are there?
So there's 30.
Oh yeah, I've got
36,000 Rotary clubs.
That's right. I've got a statistics somewhere. Yeah,
but I guess that gives you an idea of the global footprint of Rotary. It's just about everywhere. And it's similar to McDonald's. When you go to McDonald's, you know sort of what you're going to get. And I found when you go to a Rotary club overseas, you sort of know what you're going to get too.
Yeah.
But it's very similar.
Yeah.
But with its own nuance in each different country. Some are more formal than others. New Zealand is typically more relaxed than a lot of overseas Rotary clubs. But very welcoming, and it's a good way to sort of orientate yourself in a new city as well if you're visiting. And often people,
and particularly
say,
with context, And also, I mean, I don't think people realise just how much Rotary does internationally. Like, I mean, we've just about eradicated polio worldwide, haven't we, through the Rotary International Foundation. And
after about 40 years, we've been working on that. $2 billion.
And we've almost been there for five or seven years. It's just so stubbornly hanging on in a couple of places.
Yeah.
But all but gone.
Yeah.
And the places that it's left in are war-torn countries. But there were, I think when Rotary started 40 years ago, there were something like 350,000 people, often children, either died or permanently disabled through polio each year. Now it's down to less than 10 a year, but so it's almost there.
Yeah, it's amazing. And also, of course, you've got all the IRCs, you know, that go into the countries when there's a disaster, the emergency rescue kit, isn't it?
A kit, which is, and it's been supplemented by Shelterbox in recent years. So the IRCs go from New Zealand, a lot of them go to the Pacific if there's a cyclone or a hurricane.
I think they're actually based in the Pacific now instead of being in Auckland.
And they have them based around the Pacific so that they can respond rapidly. And then the Shelter Box, which is a more recent program, which is a house in a box, really, and it's designed to accommodate people following an emergency for up to sort of 6 months.
Oh, okay.
A tent and cooking utensils and little gas-fired ovens and the whole range of things that you would need if all of a sudden your house is obliterated.
And we've got those...
they're positioned all around the Pacific, all around the world. And they get distributed too. But they're bigger than the emergency response kit, but they sort of complement.
And, of course, our club provided the clinic, the medical clinic over in Rarotonga a few years ago that came from Masterton.
That was a big project for our club.
And that was through linked in with Rotary International.
Because the Rotary Foundation provides matching funding. So if you raise $5 here in Masterton, you can make that $10 through matching funding from the Rotary Foundation.
So what, the other clubs that you were in, did they have the same committees? Because some of them are a bit different, aren't they?
Yeah, but they were largely same sort of areas, like club service, community service, youth and vocation, international, the same sort of areas. They had slightly different structures, but they were focused around the same sorts of things. And one of the things about Rotary that I don't know that we think about or talk about often enough is that we talk often about externally what Rotary does, and, you know, we almost eradicated polio, worldwide. We've done the project in the Cook Islands that you've talked about. There's the children's playground, or the mini golf in Masterton that was started by Rotary South, or Rotary in Masterton 50 years ago. Those sorts of external community projects. But for members of Rotary, I think we often overlook the fact that it's good for us as well as individuals, the sort of the professional and personal development you can get out of Rotary.
Yeah, so
running committees and running meetings, all those sorts of things that are really useful skills that you can pick up.
Just
by osmosis, really, by being in Rotary.
And the networking you can do for, for your own job or for, you know, when you come into a place.
It's a really good network.
So
you get a good understanding of the community just by going along and networking with the people that are there, because it's quite a wide range of people. And I think one of the good things about Rotary is the fact that we have an international section. That so if you're a member, you can be a member of the international committee, if you like, which obviously focuses on international events, international fundraising and so forth. You have a community section, which obviously focuses on your community. And then youth and vocational as well, which is educational primarily, and we do a lot, our club does a lot with that locally, with dictionaries and books for babies and, getting people on trips and so forth, educational stuff that they could never get otherwise. And so whatever, committee you end up in, you end up with learning and knowledge of that, and you can go from one committee to another.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's good, isn't it, when you can swap around a bit. Mm.
Each year.
Yeah.
We generally try and change it up a bit.
So, well, I thank you, John, for all your input at the moment. We'll be getting back to you soon. But perhaps you just need to have a bit of a break. And I've got the best of Dixieland jazz and its swing. I was trying to see if I could find one, the Beatles scene. There's been a lot about the Beatles lately on things.
And too. Yes. The launch on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's right. So, unfortunately, I couldn't find my CD that I wanted to. And then also someone's gone off with my Johnny Cash disc too, and I've got to have Johnny Cash. But so we'll get started on this.
Thank you.
Right, so there we are. We are back on air and a bit of a swing to get there. So now it's your turn, Mike, and you have been a president and now you another president. So, you know, is it because you love being a president or what's the story? Tell us a bit about how you came to be in Rotary.
Well, yeah, it was quite some time ago. Obviously, I was, you know, working in this town, and I got invited by a member of Rotary to come along and to a meeting or two, and then in those days you had to be proposed and seconded, and you know, it was a bit of a rigmarole to become a member. I was fortunate enough, I guess, to become a member back then, and have been a Rotary member ever since. I think I'm 30 years at Rotary.
Yeah, plus, about the same as John. Yeah.
When I started, I was probably the youngest one there by a long margin.
Oh, yep. Gosh, I bet.
Yeah. By quite a good margin. And probably not the youngest one now. No, that's the thing that's changed. And, yeah, I worked pretty hard within Rotary and ended up being asked to be president of our Rotary Club. And that was one of the best years I've had in Rotary, actually.
Just to fill people in, the fact that you are asked to be president from the person who's the actual current president. Is that the story?
Yeah, so our club's a little bit different to a lot of other clubs, but yes, effectively, if you're the president, you can tap the next person on the shoulder, give them over a year's notice, and obviously you talk to your peers on who you're thinking and the reasons why, and sort of get the feeling of that's the right way and direction for the club. And, you know, to have that continuity within the club and also have it a little bit mixed up and have some change is essential, you know.
Who did you take over from? Who was?
Christine
Brewster. I see. Same as this time.
Last time I asked Christine to be president. So this time she's 20 years later asked me to be president and follow her. So I don't think that was intentional. It's just the way it's happened.
Yeah.
It's quite an honour to be the president of the club and quite a responsibility as well. And you've got to keep it all together, and there's a lot going on, but you have a lot. The good thing about it, and it's you know, this time around, I've sat down and I've looked at how I'm getting to do duties and giving assignments to do during the year and asking them to do positions within the club. Is the capability of the people that is there is incredible, and the amount of work that people do within our club, for our club, on a weekly basis is huge. And it's when you start delving in and you're having a look at all the different positions and responsibilities that people are doing, and they just do it, you know, and they do it really, really well. And I that's the success of our Rotary Club, and I think it's the success of Rotary as well. There's a format that Rotary gives you in which to a guideline on how to achieve things, and and it's up to you to make it happen, obviously.
And so do you in that year or before that year starts, do you have to go to courses and things at all, or is there something like that? Or did you the first time? You probably don't do it this time. But.
Yeah, first time I did some courses, yes, and they had a conference thing. This time I've done some courses as well, a lot more relaxed. We did them on Zoom instead of going to meetings as such. And they were good. I learned a lot out of those about what's happening in Rotary and what our challenges are. I'm glad I did the Zoom meetings as such. So there's guidance and there's help and there's a lot of good people around Each year we have a theme that's set by the president of a worldwide Rotary, and that's up to you to take that theme through. It's expected of you to sort of try and work on that theme. And this coming year for Rotary globally is create hope in the world.
That's good. Yeah,
which is quite a good theme. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh yeah, sounded a bit sort of cheesy, but I think it's actually quite relevant. We need hope, and we need goodwill from all people, especially at the moment with what's going on globally. And I think that's what Rotary does globally. You know, it doesn't matter what country you're in, what religion you are, and whereabouts you are, the principles of Rotary are the same for all Rotary members.
It's like the four-way test, isn't it? Is it true? Right. Can it help people?
Yeah. Is it the truth?
Yeah.
You know, is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill? And those four basic premises as such is the basis of Rotary. That's the only thing that's the found, you know, like there's no other
Ten Commandments or something.
Yeah, or anything else. It's just, you know, globally, it's a four-way test is the one thing that puts it together, and that's why it's acceptable to all
to people. Everybody,
I believe.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
So John, talking about these Zoom meetings, you would have had it before Zoom, wouldn't you, when you were president?
I did.
You had to actually attend. What was it called?
So it's President-elect training. That's right. Used to be called.
Now PETS or something.
PETS, that's right. It's now got a catchy new name, L&D, Learning and Development.
Oh, okay.
So
not L&P.
No. Mike's right. It has been on Zoom, and that's a bit of a legacy of COVID.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
One of my roles in Rotary at the moment is that to deliver that training for presidents in our district. So we'll be going back to face-to-face meetings this coming year. Well, part of it is that you get people together and to meet each other, and then they can work with each other and support each other through the year as president as well.
So is that because we're changing slightly the district setup? Is that coming through that?
That is changing. That's regionalisation. Rotary worldwide is split into about 35 different geographic zones, and our zone is New Zealand, Australia and the Pacific Islands. And our particular zone, that New Zealand, Australia and the Pacific Islands, has got permission from Rotary International to try some different structures in the way it organises Rotary in this part of the world, just to sort of pilot that and see if there is a more effective way of structuring Rotary that's more attuned to our particular region. So the Rotary structure is a worldwide structure. It's very North American centric because Rotary started in North America and it's sort of been based on that ever since we started in 1905.
Mm. Paul Harris.
Just looking at are there ways of changing that? So that changes. The district governors have got different roles now to what they've had, and that's changing over the next couple of years. A bit of a test bed really here in the South Pacific for Rotary.
And will that change much, Mike, what you're doing? Or, you know, do you have to come into that, or is it just sort of going to happen and we, you know?
I think the guidelines are happening, you know, and the ability to do it is great, and it's perhaps what we touched on at the start, you know, is a bit more flexibility. You know, like we have a husband and wife as members in our, who share the duties and share coming along, and that's worked very successful. You know, they've got a young family. They're both working pretty hard and at what they do, and they both bring a lot to our Rotary Club. It's been a huge success, way better than I ever thought, imagined it would be, actually. And I think that's, we have to adapt, and we have to have that ability to adapt. And in my year, this year coming up, I want to do new membership, and I want to bring some new people into our Rotary Club, and so that we can continue, you know, with the success of our club. John, you know, mentioned before that we're about the second largest Rotary Club in our district, and we have quite a good success at what we do in providing into our community and internationally and to youth, you know. So I think we are good at what we do. Our club is good at what we do. We just need to have that continue, and that means bringing new people in, new blood, and adapting.
And younger blood, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think, is that difficult these days because people don't seem to be wanting to join clubs as much as they used to?
I don't know what, sorry, John. You know, like when I joined Rotary, I was building my own business and I had no time.
Mm.
But the ability to have a meal, turn up at 5:30, 5:45, have a meal with people that I didn't normally sit and have a meal with or associate with necessarily, and then provide something back into my community, you know, give back into your community that you live in, and have and listen to a good speaker and share ideas with the people at your table for an hour and a half once a week was hugely valuable to my own personal growth and to my business growth.
Mm.
You know, and so I'm trying to work out how we can sell that better, because there's nothing like actually meeting people and having a meal with them and listening to a good speaker and you know, for your own good health more than anything.
I think, too, the fact that you don't have to, well, in our club, you don't have to sit with the same people every time, and you can move around, and I think that that is really important. I also think, I don't know, was you, John, the other night was saying about the fact some of them have gone to once a fortnight, and I don't think that's a good idea. Once you start sort of limiting it, you know.
I think it's a slippery slope. So we meet every week.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right, some clubs have moved to meeting once a fortnight. One of the problems with that is if you miss a meeting, then it's a month between going to meetings and catching up with people. And there is the risk that people start to disengage if it's that infrequent. I'm a bit like Mike, that I joined Rotary and I had a busy work life and we had little kids. And I thought, God, the last thing I need to be doing is joining another club. But you just, it becomes part of your diary and it just happens every week, and you still get to do all the other things that you have to do work-wise and family-wise.
And really, it's not a lot of time out, is it really? Well, really, I mean, it's only about, I mean, formally it starts at 6:00, but it finishes by 7:30.
You're going to eat anyway, right?
Yeah.
You're actually going to eat, have a meal of some sort. And so, yeah, the actual time that you're putting in to benefit everyone, including yourself, is well worthwhile. And it's not like we don't have a good selection of really good speakers.
Yes, you know,
one of the best, you know, like it's amazing how much you learn from the speakers that Rotary provide to, within your community and without and around. It's first class. And the knowledge gained is huge.
Yep.
It's a big benefit, I think.
And also, you can, I mean, busy people can't always do the other sort of community things that might happen, you know, like Millennium Reserve or something, but there's always something like selling raffle tickets or whatever that you can spend a bit of time outside, you know, just your weekly meeting. Yeah.
There's a whole range of different opportunities that you can do stuff, but you just pick and choose what you're able to do.
Yes, yeah.
There's an expression that here increasingly now in Rotary, come as you are and do what you can.
Mm.
And it means that it's not like the old days where you had to attend every meeting. People increasingly seem to be attracted to joining causes rather than clubs per se.
Mm.
And I think with Rotary you can have the best of both, really.
That's right, yeah.
And I think our club has been very successful over a long period of time, where it's actually generated its own income from businesses that it's set up over many years. And they've had to adapt. You know, some of those businesses have gone by the way and some are still in existence, but provides a good income for our Rotary Club, and it's a good platform. Doesn't take a lot of time and effort from each member, but a little bit from each one adds up to a job well done.
Mm. And also we have the two main sources of income, which is the mini golf and Sunday market, which then provide the money for all the different community projects and the educational projects that we have, which is really good. Yeah. So are you looking for a particular main object or venture for this coming year, Mike? Have you got something lined up?
Yeah, so we've actually got a lot on our plate, and one of them's probably a little bit of what I want, and the rest of it's already mandated, but we're full steam into having a fair.
Can you tell us about that? Because that's sort of just fairly recent, but we haven't heard a lot about it, so you can start promoting.
Well, yeah.
Big opportunity to tell Masters and all about it.
I hope I'm not jumping the gun, but we've got an able team led by Warwick Dean from our club to put on what we call a Christmas fair or fete, if you like. I think we've got a section of Masterton's main city, Queen Street, taking off the traffic part, and we're going to, a little bit like a major fair where retailers can get out on the street, bring their wares from all over and have it as a Christmas theme and generate, you know, income for our retailers and in a really neat environment in which to shop and have a look around at stuff that you might not ordinarily see. Yeah, so we're hoping to do that this year, and that's probably going to be a big new one. And for me personally, as president, I want to bring new membership. Excuse me, into our club. So if anyone's listening to this and they want to know more about it, they can get hold of me on LinkedIn, if you like, Facebook. But that's certainly, I think, is the most important part, in my opinion, is the continuance of our club and the continuance of our good doing in our community is going to be reliant on actually having new people into our club to keep it fresh and keep it moving forward.
And apart from things we've already talked about, you know, what can you say to attract people to the club? I mean, we've talked about a lot of the things that we can, but is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I think the camaraderie and the sense and the feeling of belonging. And, you know, like it is, it could be a little bit daunting to start with if you come into a club and as a new member, but you will be made welcome. And we will make an effort to make you welcome. Please be rest assured of that. And, you know, just that belonging into a community, the Rotary community, which is for the benefit of your community predominantly, builds your own growth, you know, for your own personal growth, business growth, and for the community. So where else can you do that and achieve that all in the one space, you know? And have the variation that it's not the same thing every time, you know. It's evolving and you can evolve with it. Mm. It's a big plus.
Mm. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, we've had our we haven't got back to it. We've had our choir and been out and perform with the choir. You're a singer, John.
No,
oh, what a shame.
That wouldn't be that much fun.
Me neither. I've got a dulcet tone voice.
I don't know. We've had a lot of
perform our own choir.
We've had a lot of fun with the choir. So hopefully we might get back to doing that, because that was just a real bonding sort of thing, you know. To have, and I've never been in a, I mean, it was the first time I was ever in a choir where there were more men than women, you know. So, yeah, there was a big group. But, yes, with the, and if you invite people to come along, I mean, they can come along for a couple of nights and just get a feel of the place. There is a cost, but, I mean, the cost is goes not to the club really, but more to the international. And, I mean, we get the feed, we get the kickback from that, don't we? Because you've got to pay to join a club anyway. But I think
so. There's an annual subscription, and then each week there's the cost of your meal.
Yes, which is a very nice meal, by the way.
It is the best rotary food I've ever had. It's really good in Marston and South.
Yeah.
But the subscription, largely it goes to paying subscriptions to the Rotary to Rotary International that enables some of the international work that happens. And you're right, we do benefit from that, because some of it comes back here.
So that is... and this system that we've got with a double booking, that means that it's just one person's membership that's paid, is that right, with a husband and wife?
Yeah. So they just pay a membership and they share alternative weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one looks after their young family while the other one's at Rotary and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's worked very, very well. So there's all sorts of things that we can look at. We've got to adapt.
There's a lot more flexibility now, isn't there, than what there was.
Yeah.
And because there's a lot of different people coming into the town now too that we've got to be able to attract and sort of make them welcome, join in and things.
I think one of the amazing things about Wairarapa and Marston in particular is the amount of people that are coming to live here from different walks of life. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. So I sit down, you did what? You know, like, really, really great people. And that's, if there's anyone listening out there that wants to, get to meet other people in their community, the business people and leaders in our community, feel free to get hold of me and I'll bring you along to our Rotary.
And I can attest to that as a newcomer to Masterton. Mm. It's an incredibly good way to meet a whole group of people and get to know them and have fun with them.
Yeah. And so how did you just contact Rotary when you first came in?
I was moving here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I knew John Bunny, who's a member of our club.
Mm.
I knew him from
through Wellington.
Work in Wellington. So I just contacted him and said, I'm moving to Marston. I'd like to join your club if I could. And then the club came back and said, yep. So I came along. That was it.
Mm.
So it's quite painless, really. Yeah.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, well, I had a bit of a sort of a, it was a bit like an epiphany when I first came in, because I had just finished teaching. And I went to... I can't remember. It was somebody's funeral, and Christine, I think, got up and spoke about him being in. It was Jim Jolliffe, and she spoke about Rotary and how he'd been involved. And I thought, I was in Rotaract, and my dad was in Rotary for many years. And perhaps I could join Rotary. And so I saw her afterwards, and I think it was Brian was the president at that time, Brian Crumpy, and ex-people. And anyway, I was talking to Christine afterwards, and I said, oh, my dad was in Marston Rotary. And she said, oh, we're Marston South. And I said, I should really go to Marston Rotary. She said, they have a breakfast meeting. And I said, no. I don't think I could manage getting up at 7:30 for a meeting, and so that was how I managed to come to Masterton, Masterton South. And
We haven't looked back ever since, have we, Mel?
No.
We've been very lucky.
Yeah, you've been very lucky, I'm sure. Anyway, we are coming up to nearly time for us to head off to have some lunch or do whatever it is that we all have to do and get ourselves ready for the next lot of things that we've got to do. So thank you both for coming in and sharing all those sort of background information, and we're finding out a lot about John and also Mike, you'll be heading off sometime on more travels. Can I just ask, as a fellow traveller, what's the great attraction about travelling?
Adventure.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just like the adventure of travel. It's yeah, it's like you're not knowing what's around the next corner, what you're going to see. I just love that. And the different culture, obviously, food.
Mm.
Yeah.
And different, any particular area that you are more fond of than, I mean, I just come alive down around the Mediterranean. But
yeah. I know. Like Asia is amazing. Yeah, America, I love America as well. America's just incredible when you start travelling around that place. And Europe, you know, like there's no place I've been that, that with the exception of perhaps Cuba.
Haven't been there yet.
Yeah, I found that a little bit oppressive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was quite shocked at how life was like for an average Cuban. I'll leave it at that. But the country itself and the people were fantastic. Yeah, just their way of life was a bit sad, very sad. Yeah, but other than that, yeah, it's but you see that, you know, like you see people like Mongolia and places where you know a child will be playing with a plastic toy that's well past its used date, but with a big smile on their face. You know, it's just incredible, really. Yeah.
Are you the same, John? Are you a traveller?
I love travelling, yeah. This time last year I was in Europe.
Was lovely.
A bit warmer than
here. Yes. Well, I'm hoping that I'll be warmer when I'll be heading
off. You're away shortly,
yes.
Where are you off to, the Mediterranean?
Not this time. Normally, my sister has got a place down in France, but I'm not going actually to the Mediterranean. I'm going to the Baltic capitals this time, Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia, and then we're going over to Guernsey for all.
My daughter's there. She works for Kentucky Travel.
And
she's in the Baltic states at the moment.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She loves it.
So that'll be interesting. Anyway, thank you very much. And you have been listening to Rotary Matters, which is broadcast every first Friday of the month. And I'm Marilyn Buzaid, and thank you very much for all the information that you've given us, and hopefully you will have a really good weekend, and hopefully it's going to be a warm one.